Esther agrees to help the Jews. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's young women and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. And Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law, to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him.
Thank you. Good work. That was a long one. Full chapter. Good work. Good morning, everyone. Before we jump into a sermon here, I want to pray. When I got to the church, I don't hear from the Lord audibly typically, but when I got to the church, I just had such a strong sense of just the reality of God's love has been called out throughout the ages and echoes throughout the ages. But every one of us, at one point or another, we come into a place like this on a Sunday, and there's things in the way that stop us from being able to receive God's call of love for you, you know. And so I just want to take maybe a few seconds and just to be in silence together, and I'm just asking you to come before the Lord. If there's anything that is separating you from being able to receive God's lavish love that he wants to pour out upon you, I want to pray that the Lord would do a work this morning and would remove that thing, whatever it might be. So let's just bow our heads together for a moment, and then I'll pray for us before we begin. Lord, you know your people. You created us. You know the things that stand in between us and you. Lord, you know what we have in our lives that stops us from being able to hear your clear call of love. You know what stands in the way of us not being able to really understand or to believe in the power of sending your son to die for us, to give his life for us. Your willingness to love us when we didn't deserve it and we couldn't earn it, but yet you have just lavished us with your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, you know the things that stand in our way this morning from being able to receive that love. And I don't know what they are for those here with us this morning, but I know that you do. And whether it's shame or pride, condemnation, or whether we're addicted to something or to someone that's standing in the way of us being able to receive the love that you have given us, Lord, I just pray this morning that you would do a mighty work in our hearts. Remove any bitterness, resentment, anything that would separate us from you or from one another, Lord. We can't do it on our own. And so we turn to you this morning and ask for you to do this by the power of your Spirit. Just help us, Lord, to receive the love that you have poured out for us and continue to pour out to us. And we need your help this morning, Lord. So we turn to you and we trust in you. And just thank you, Lord, for this morning that we get to be together. Thank you for these beautiful women that are here, young and old. Lord, thank you for the mothers that have given their lives for others, for our sake. Lord, raised us and sacrificed for us and tried to model your life and your way as best as they could, Lord. And we're just grateful for them. I lift your daughters up to you this morning. I know they're precious to you, and I'm thankful for each one of them. We look to you this morning, Lord. Be with us as we walk through your word. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Last week, we closed with choose this day whom you will serve, right? These are Joshua's words, choose this day whom you will serve. And my hope last week with sort of spending so much time illuminating the insidiousness of evil, that we would really understand how important the choices that we make in this life are. Our lives are filled with defining moments, right? You can call them turning points or whys in the road. I was talking to my wife this week, and she remembers memorizing that poem, I think when she was in middle school, The Road Not Taken. And I was going to read the first stanza and the last stanza of that poem. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry, I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. He says, I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. The decisions we make at the wise in the road are they're really important. Charles Spurgeon said, when we come to a Y in the road, if we turn to the right, perhaps our children and our children's children will go that way. But if we turn to the left, generations yet unborn may curse our names for having been unfaithful to God and to his word. Right. Of course, the point he's trying to make is that the decisions we make in these moments are really difficult. These difficult moments are really important. And when we choose to make these decisions, they may take us down some difficult roads, but they're worthy decisions to be made. They're incredibly important and of great reward for us and for those around us. I was thinking about the day that I chose to follow the Lord when I was 30, and thinking about what a why in the road that was for me. It completely changed the trajectory of my entire life. Yeah, and the life of my wife and my kids, and who knows how many other countless people throughout the ages, just that decision at that why in the road. Have you ever talked to my wife before? It's somewhat to my shame, but before I knew the Lord, my wife used to just pray that her husband would let her go to church with the kids and not be against her, because I didn't believe in the Lord before we got married. And she thought, Lord, just give me a husband who will let me go to church, and so thankful. For the Lord helping me to choose him on that day and make that important decision. And maybe you guys can think of moments like that in your own life. It may not be regarding your salvation, but a husband or a wife that you chose to walk down a road with, or whatever it is, these big decisions in our life. This morning we're going to look, Katie just read it, but this biblical example of these defining moments where there's a Y in the road and a decision needs to be made, and Esther is one of the people. She has to make a decision today. So I'll reread the first three verses for us. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he went out into the midst of the city and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. Last week we talked about this idea of not compromising, not bowing down and worshiping lesser idols. Maybe that was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago? Yeah. So Mordecai has chosen. He's had one of these defining moments, these Y's in the road, and he has chosen to follow the Lord, to worship the Lord, to not bow down to lesser things. And Jesus said this best to his disciples. This is in Luke 14, but he said, if you know, something to the effect, if you're going to choose God at the Y on the road, you need to count the cost of choosing him, right? The reward of choosing him is great. It's greater than the cost, but the cost is, it's not nothing. In the first section, Mordecai's experiencing the cost. That is, he's experiencing the full weight of choosing the Lord in this instance. And because of him, not only he, but the entire Jewish people within the Persian Empire are set to be killed by this man, Haman. And we see the costliness manifest outwardly as Mordecai and the Jews, they express their deep grief of what will happen next, right? The passage says that Mordecai tears his clothing, he mourns, he weeps, he cries out, he puts on sackcloth and ashes, and later in the passage it says that there's fasting. And all of these are they're outward signs of the inward condition of the heart of God's people. And Mordecai's heart is filled with deep grief and fear over his people's pending annihilation. And every bit of his being, he invites the Lord into this situation, right? If you put yourself in their situation, the people are facing the end of who they are as a people group. And so they go before the Lord with all that they are and all that they have. And the Lord commanded this for his people throughout scripture in many places. One of them is in Joel. If you look in chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13, the Lord declares to his people, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, he says, return to me with all of your heart and rend your hearts and not just your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and he is merciful. He is slow to anger and he's abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. And so deciding to follow the Lord, it comes with a cost. One of those costs is that you no longer get to escape the reality of being present in the pain and the sorrow that comes along with being alive, right? You don't get to escape anymore. God's spirit in you, he won't allow it. He calls us to be present amidst it. And it is a cost, right? But the reward is, it's greater. And following him is, it's a wonderful thing. And when we're following him and when we're choosing him, the reward is that he's with us in the middle of being present amidst the most difficult of situations. And as Joel said, he's gracious and he's merciful and he's slow to anger and he's abounding in steadfast love, and he's ever ready to relent of the disaster that is before us when we're willing to render our hearts to the Lord. And so Mordecai is, he's turning to the Lord with every bit of his being. He's made his decision. And Esther is challenged to make her decision. In the verses 4 through 8, instead of rereading it, I think I'll just sort of summarize. In the first section, Esther tries to sort of fix Mordecai's problem, right, with the bringing of a new garment. And then Mordecai tells Esther what's happened. Esther is so tucked away with the harem with the other women, they don't even actually know what has gone out. They don't know the edict of death that has been sent out. And so Mordecai tells her, here's what's going on. Here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then Mordecai challenges Esther. So let's just walk through this. Mordecai's made his decision, and it's time for Esther to make hers. And so, as I said, in this first section, initially, Esther wants to fix Mordecai's situation. She wants to help him escape. She wants to give him new garments, it says, so he can keep moving forward. But his pain goes deeper than his clothing. And when Esther understands more fully what he's going through, she understands why his grief is so severe. And this is a moment for Esther. This is a Y in the road for Esther, where she's going to be required to decide which way she's going to go. And Mordecai essentially says to Esther via the eunuch, if you want to help me, I don't need the new clothing today. What I need for is you to choose this day who it is that you're going to serve. You must decide who you will be on this day. Esther has sort of been, whether intentional or not, she's sort of been straddling the fence, so to speak. She's kind of been living in both worlds. She's a Jewish woman, sort of in secret, but she's also part of this this king's world, right? It's a part of the kingdom of the world. And so will she be a daughter of God who stands in the middle of her greatest struggle and is willing to go before this king and plead with the king? Or will she be the daughter of the world who cowers in the face of grief and destruction and runs from the pain of reality? And this isn't clearly not just for Esther, this is for all of us. We can't live with one foot on the road with God and our other foot in the world. It's not possible. And so Esther's faced with this decision: which road are you going to choose? Will you lead in this instance when you feel like being led? And that is, I'm sure many of you have experienced this, but when you come to these crossroads, so often we want somebody to tell us what to do. We want somebody to tell us which way to go. And God willing, there will be people around us that can do that. And the Lord is always faithful to be there with us to help us do that. But you will all come to, if you have not already, come to places where you have to decide if you're going to lead, when really you just feel like being led. I don't know if any of you have experienced that. I've experienced it myself, and it's uncomfortable, but it's actually good. And it offers us an opportunity to choose, to make a decision and to take a step and to watch God meet us and be our ground underneath our feet. And so the why and the road has come for Esther, and she must decide which way she will go. And that's really verses 9 through 17. We see that further develop. And again, I won't read all the passage for us, but just summarize what Esther says. And she says to Mordecai via this eunuch that, look, anybody who goes into the king without being invited is typically put to death unless the golden scepter is shown to them. And Mordecai, he challenges her with three beautiful challenges, and then Esther makes her decision. So let's look at it. Before making her decision, Esther counts the cost. As we said before, this is wisdom to take an account of what you're getting yourself into. And in Esther's case, the law of the land is as I said, it appears that she has gone from being the king's favorite, right? He's chosen her as his queen, but now it appears that she hasn't seen him for a time. And for her to go into his presence without an invitation would be, it'd be very dangerous and even deadly for her. His golden scepter is it's a symbol of his sovereignty and his grace and his favor. So for those who come before the king and they receive the golden scepter, they will not be put to death. But for those who don't, they will be put to death. And for Esther, the cost is possibly her life. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety." And so before going into the king's presence, she seeks wisdom, she seeks wise counsel, and she seeks counsel from Mordecai and also from the Lord. It doesn't say so explicitly, but I'll show you why I think that's true. Here's what Mordecai does and what he says. And these three things that he says are they're wonderful, they're helpful, not only for her, but for us. First he says is this. She tells him, if I go into the king, I may die. And he says to her, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. He helps her to see that this is not something you can escape. This is bigger than you. And if you don't face up to this, it's going to include you in it, whether or not. He does her a great favor to just call her to attention and says, be present in this. He says this then, if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And another way to say that is, Mordecai says to Esther, look, God's will be done with or without you. God's will be done with or without you. Esther, if you don't do this, somebody else is going to do it. The Lord will raise up somebody else to carry out his will, because he's faithful and it's what he does. And then he says this, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And another way to say that is, don't miss out on what God has invited you into. God's will be done with or without us. That's real. That's true. But we do not want to miss out on what God is doing and what he wants to do in and through us. I remember when I used to work for my dad, I'd be in people's homes. For those of you guys who don't know, I used to like clean windows and do a bunch of maintenance stuff for my dad. And you'd be in people's houses and the Lord would nudge you. You should speak to this person, and you should just boldly love them and talk to them about Jesus. And I would often do this, but I remember some of the times where I didn't. And then I'd leave their house and I'd just have this sense of like, I missed that opportunity. What's gonna happen now? Like, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I should have followed through with this. Like, this could be this person's life at stake. And I was like, nah, I'm just gonna get out of here. Too uncomfortable. I don't wanna do it right now. And I'd leave. And I don't encourage you to do that. But let me say this. I would often come back the following year, right? Clients would be repeat clients. And then I'd find myself in a conversation with this person. And they'd be talking to me. And then they'd explain to me what was going on in their life. And they would relay to me that how someone had spoken the truth into their life. But God had been faithful and shown up and delivered the message that I failed to deliver. And it was so wonderful because I didn't feel condemned. I felt like, Lord, help me. I don't want to miss out on what you're doing. Like, I don't want to miss out on what God is doing in and through us. He's going to do it either way, but he's invited us into it. And we ought not want to miss out on it. And so Mordecai calls Esther to attention about this Lord of hers. You've been called for a moment like this. Don't miss out on this opportunity, right? And we need friends in our lives who will stand face to face with us at these Y's in the road where we need to make a critical decision, and who will tell us the truth and will speak honestly to us. I've been so blessed by some of the men in my life, James and Tyler and my friend Tim, and so many. I could go on and on and on. So many people who have stood with me in difficult situations and caused me to look at the hard truth in a situation and encouraged me to choose wisely. I pray that we'd surround ourselves with men and women like that. Amen. So Esther makes her decision. I'll read verses 15 through 17 for us. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do, and then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away, and he did everything as Esther had ordered him. So at the Y in the road, Esther has made her decision to follow the Lord. And again, although it doesn't explicitly say so, I had said that she seeks wisdom from Mordecai. And I believe she also seeks wisdom from the Lord because she decides that she's going to fast. And she calls the Jewish people to a fast. And in fasting, we choose to go without physically in order to seek God's heart in a particular instance, right? So we go without food, we go without water, we go without other essential needs to acknowledge that God is our greatest essential need. He's the one who provides for our every need, and so he's the one who we must turn to in our times of greatest need, right? And this is what we see Esther doing in this situation. She turns to the Lord, and she comes to terms. She says, "I will go to the king, and though it is against the law, I will go. And if I perish, I will perish." And that is, this is the greatest place of peace that we can find is deciding to trust the Lord no matter what. Lord, I'm going to trust you even in the face of death. For those of you who've been to a memorial or have done a memorial, you know, you come into this room and everybody is dealing with this reality. We are all going to die. You're only getting out of here one way. And so we might spend some time thinking about it and coming to terms with what that means. And for God's people, we have the joy of finding peace in the one who has the author of life and death, and who is going to be with us beyond the grave. And Esther turns to the Lord by God's grace in this instance. So I want to close with this, looping around to Jesus, which is always good for us to do. No one in all of history has more definitively embodied deciding wisely amidst circumstances of monumental consequence than Jesus. He is our model. He is our example, just perfectly choosing at the Y and the road always. No one has more clearly abandoned the desire to escape difficulty. You think of Christ and his willingness to be present amidst the most difficult of times. No one has done it better than him. No one has spoken up more clearly for the deliverance of their people. Christ stands in the face of death, And he speaks clearly and loudly by giving his life on the cross for the deliverance of his people. No one has done it better than him. And no one has more clearly fulfilled the purpose for which he was sent than Jesus Christ. That's the very reason for which he was sent, was to deliver his people from their sin and from their bondage, and to afford them the opportunity at the Y in the road to choose him, to choose life. You guys know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Right? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is our Lord, always choosing wisely choosing on behalf of others. This is what he's done for us. And so for some of us, there's a why in the road this morning, and our defining moment is that we must decide to follow Jesus for the first time, right? If that's you, I just want to encourage you to take this decision seriously, and to choose Christ, to bow down before him, and to confess, and to repent, and to believe, and to walk into life eternal for the first time. This is what he's made possible for us as our Savior. And for the rest of us, after deciding to follow Jesus at the Y in the road, I know that if you're like me, you've come to myriad upon myriad other little Ys in the road. And our defining moment is to decide to follow him afresh this morning, right? If that's you, I want to encourage you to choose him in this moment afresh, anew, and to abide in him. Like I said, and I prayed, I don't know what you all struggle with, but I know what I struggle with. Whether it's addiction to substances, whether it's addiction to binge watching TV, whether you're addicted to pornography, whether you love to store up bitterness in your heart and resentment, whether you are ramped up with pride, self-pity, whatever it is, these are the things that the enemy will use to keep us in bondage. And Christ has set you free from these things, and he has set you free to choose him over and over and over again in the face of these things that want to rob us of receiving the love that God has given to us. And I would encourage us this morning, I'm saying this to myself, it's not something to mess around with. Like, to choose him at the Y in the road right now and sever off whatever that thing is that is separating you from him or causing any sort of division, I'd encourage you to do it now and be done with it. You can do that in Christ, and you can walk afresh. It will not be easy, but you can do that today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to put it off. I got an argument with my wife yesterday. I didn't talk to her about saying this, and my friend Tim says, never tell stories about people unless you've talked to them about saying, I'm not gonna go into details. I wasn't loving my wife well. And then I got to church, and I was doing some things, and I was like, I need to talk to my wife. And then I didn't even remember that today was Mother's Day. I'm like, dude, Mother's Day weekend? Disrespecting God's daughter? Disrespecting your bride? Like, what is wrong with you, bro? And I don't think the Lord condemns me in that, but it's real. I need to sever that that pride in me, that resistance in me, the hard-heartedness in me. Cut it completely off. It doesn't mean I'll never do it again, but I can cut it off by just going to Jesus. Your blood is sufficient. I don't need to defend myself. I don't need to justify myself. I don't need my wife to perfectly understand exactly what I'm thinking or why I said this or that. You just need to go to your wife, Ryan, and you need to tell her you love her, you're sorry, and you're gonna walk the rest of the day out in a newness with Jesus. I don't know what that might look like for you in your life, but I know you're human like me, and you have things like this, and these are whys in the road. If it's your salvation, it's everything. And salvation is not just a moment, but it's continual. You're saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. So join me if you're a believer in your sanctification process and walking through this life, and you're running into these myriad whys in the road. Take it seriously. And choose him over and over and over again, and show that you choose him by turning to him and turning away from that thing that's bringing death into your life, and share it with people around you so that they know you're doing it. Bring it out into the light so it can be seen. Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for knowing all things, understanding all things, speaking clearly on all things. Thank you for letting me be somebody who gets to stand up here and proclaim some of your truths, however flawed I may do it. I'm thankful that your spirit dwells in me, and I'm really reliant upon the work you're doing in your people's hearts. Even if I say the wrong thing, Lord, I trust that you can take it and use it for good. It's who you are. I'm thankful that we can rest in you, that we can trust in you. I thank you that it's you that brings us to these whys in the road. It's you that helps us to understand that choosing rightly makes all the difference in a lifetime, that it has an impact that doesn't just affect us, but it affects the people that come along after us and the people that surround us, Lord. We're so grateful that you are on the throne and that we can turn to you as many times as we need to. Lord, let us never grow weary of choosing you at the Y on the road. Let that become something as we grow in you and we walk together with you, that's something we just do more and more and more and more, and we're willing to choose you and not choose ourselves over and over and over again. I pray that it would become easier to choose you for us. If it's not easier, I pray that we would be quicker to repent of it when we do. Lord, help us to trust you afresh this morning, Lord. And we just thank you that we get to be together and to get to be your people and get to trust in you, to trust the path that you have laid out for us that is narrow yet leads to an abundant life. Lord, spare us from the wide path that leads to destruction. If any of my brothers and sisters in here this morning are ensnared in something, if they're stuck in something that they cannot get out of, I pray, Lord, that you would set them free from that bondage, however you see fit, in your timing. I pray that your miraculous hand would be at work in our lives in every way and in ways that we don't even know, but that we would start to just see more and more evidence of your work in our life, helping to choose you and to choose rightly for your glory. I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.